Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Wolves. My name's Alan Horton. You can follow along on Twitter at Wolves Radio and at Locked On Wolves. That's at Wolves Radio and at Locked On Wolves. Hope your week is going well. Thanks so much for tuning in. A couple of things we'll touch on today's podcast. We'll talk. We'll break down some numbers from the Wolves so far, and we'll talk about the two biggest areas during training camp and preseason that Tom Thibodeau has talked about closing the gap. That's been his big term, closing the gap. Defense and the three-point line. How have the Wolves fared so far through three preseason games in those two areas? We'll look at the Wolves stats a little bit, break down who's hot and who's not through three games, and then finally, what we've seen a little bit already in the preseason, what you're going to see more of during the regular season, points of education, formerly known as points of emphasis, what the referees are looking for this season and focusing on and trying to clean up that part of the game. That's all coming up on the podcast today. Don't forget, coming up tonight, Game 3, Lynx, Sparks, series tied at 1, best out of 5, 8 o'clock Central. It's on ESPN2, and John Fokey has the call on Bob 106.1 FM. Vikings off this weekend. They're at Philadelphia next Sunday, but get all the latest with Sam Ekstrom and Sage Rosenfels. Locked On Vikings. Do a search for them. Check out what they've got to say about the 5-0 Minnesota Vikings. Locked On NBA with David Locke, the radio voice of the Jazz. He's got his Eastern Conference previews up, and what he's done is he's taken all the different Locked On teams in the NBA and had them do a season preview in a 5 to 7, 10-minute span, somewhere in there. And he's kind of then filling in after all those little updates. And we'll have Western Conference previews coming up next week. I'll be obviously doing the one for the Wolves, and it'll just bounce around throughout the Western Conference. Very cool way to kind of get caught up. A good primer for the upcoming season. So search for that, Locked On NBA. All right, let's talk some Wolves. They're coming off that 105-88 dismantling of the Denver Nuggets on Wednesday night. They spent the night in Lincoln, Nebraska. They flew to Louisville, Kentucky yesterday, and they will play the Miami Heat coming up on Saturday night. So a back-to-back for the Wolves during the preseason, Saturday against the Miami Heat in Louisville and then against OKC on Sunday night. The game in Louisville, the second time ever the Wolves have played a preseason game or played any kind of game in Louisville, Kentucky. Do you remember the first? I don't. 1992, it was a 114-105 win over the Washington Bullets. I miss the old Bullets nickname. I mean, I know it had to go away, but I'd be in favor of that coming back if people were okay with it. The Wizards really have never, ever done anything that nickname ever for me. You know, we're going to run into this problem probably Saturday night and Sunday night. Sunday night game, I have a feeling, might be televised. OKC does a nice job of picking up most of their preseason games. But I have a feeling we may not see Saturday's game televised. So you're going to have viewing problems again. There's no radio broadcast for either of those. Streaming is usually only done by the home team, and the Wolves do not have a home game out of those two like they did in Lincoln. So it's going to be a struggle, I think, to see these games. But guess what? After these final two games, we don't have to talk about this problem until next preseason, because the Wolves will be back home. They've got a Tuesday open scrimmage at Target Center. You can get your tickets by going to Timberwolves.com. It is free, but you do have to have a ticket, so go to Timberwolves.com. Secure your tickets there. Wednesday, the preseason game against Memphis. Friday, against the Charlotte Hornets. In that game, both those Wednesday and Friday games will be available in Fox Sports North, and then I'll have a radio broadcast of that Friday one against the Hornets. Timberwolves are 2-1. In this preseason, and a big reason why is the two biggest areas of concern heading into the season. The defense, which ranked 27th and 30th the last 2 years, and the three-point line over the last 2 years. The Wolves have been outscored by almost 11 points per game at the three-point line. Their three-point differential, two of the six worst marks in NBA history. So there's plenty of room for improvement in those two areas. And already through three games, we've seen some pretty hefty improvement. Let's start with the defense. I mentioned in yesterday's podcast that the Wolves are giving up 93 points per 100 possessions. That ranked them sixth yesterday. They're up to fifth. They didn't even have to play. Someone else dropped out of the top five, and they filled in the spot. So they have the fifth-ranked defense right now, giving up 95 points a game. The field goal, opponent's field goal percentage, right around 44%, still a little bit high, I think. 30% from beyond the arc, you can definitely live with that. And the Wolves are giving up 25 free throw attempts, although when you compare that to what the Wolves are getting to the free throw line 31 times a game, there's a healthy advantage there of six free throw attempts per game. So the Wolves with a top five defense. Their defensive rebounding has really carried them as well. They're also in the top five in that category. They're fourth, grabbing 82% of their available defensive rebounds. So last year, to give you a little sense, Charlotte has been the number one defensive rebounding team for like three straight years under Steve Clifford. Last year, they set the NBA record with 70, just under 80%. I think they were 79.8% of available defensive rebounds. So the Wolves off to a good start in that category. The other area where they're top 10 is opponents' turnover rate. Nearly 20% of opponents' possessions end in a turnover, and that ranks the Wolves in the top 10 right there. So they're getting it done with good rebounding, forcing turnovers, and doing a good job at the three-point line, only allowing 30% from that three-point stretch. The one area where there's some room for improvement is the opponent's effective field goal percentage, which is something where Tom Thibodeau has thrived. His defenses have thrived in that area, consistently being in the top 10 and oftentimes in the top 5. Right now, the Wolves are giving up an opponent effective field goal percentage of 49%. And again, that incorporates the two-point shot and the three-point shot, and that ranks them 14th, right in the middle of the pack. So there's some room for improvement there in that opponent's effective field goal percentage. The other area where the Wolves need to close the gap, the three-point line. Let's start with the three-point rate. The Wolves are, out of their field goal attempts that they've tried in the first three games, 26% of their shots have come from beyond the arc. For them, that's a huge improvement. Last year, they were at 20%, but that 20% ranked them 29th. This year at 26%, you'd think you'd climb a little higher than 29th. Well, they did, but only a few spots. That's only 26th best in the NBA. It gives you an idea of where the league is heading with even more three-point attempts. But here's what's interesting. The percentage of points that the Wolves are scoring in the preseason that have come from threes, also 26%. But get this, that ranks right in the middle of the pack. So they've already jumped up to midway up on the standings, when last year only 16% of their points came from threes, and that ranked 29th in the league. And the reason why, you know, they've jumped from 26th in three-point rate to 15th in actual points coming from threes is because they're hitting their threes. 38%, that ranks them 10th best in the preseason, and that's up from the 34% they shot last year, which ranked them 25th in the league. So in the two wins, the Wolves have won the battle at the three-point line. Last year, that only happened 12 times in 82 games. 12 times did the Wolves have more three-pointers than their opponents, and that was in 82 games. They've done it two times in their first three games. So they've gotten some good shooting performances. Zach LaVine has kind of carried the way, much of that from his 30-point effort against the Charlotte Hornets earlier this week. He's shooting 46% from beyond the arc, jacking up nearly four attempts per game. Boz is at 50%. He's taken hit three out of six so far. Belly has done a nice job. He's actually the leader in the clubhouse of attempts so far in three games. He's hit six out of 14. That's 43%. That's almost five attempts per game for Belly. Brandon Rush is 4 of 7. So those are really your top three-point shooters right now. And if you break it down a little further, three of those four guys I listed play on the second unit. The starters have really struggled from beyond the arc. If your name's not Zach LaVine, Wiggins is 1 of 4, Cat 3 of 9, Rubio 1 of 5, Gorgie 0 for 1. So most of the 3-point damage has come from the bench unit, and you can certainly live with that. That's good for the bench. They have 3+ guys from the 3-point line, but the Wolves, you're hoping, would have 3, maybe 4, out of their 5 starters be be effective from the three-point line. Zach is already there. You're hoping maybe Wiggins could climb into that category. Cat could up his percentage a little bit. Rubio was close, could be close to league average. That would be an improvement. And Gorgie's kind of the wild card there. I'm not sure how many attempts he's gonna get from beyond the arc. He has shown he can knock down some corner threes. But I think there's a chance you could have four threats from beyond the arc in that starting five, but it just has not played out that way so far. So who's hot and who's not? We mentioned Zach LaVine. He's averaging 17 points a game, four rebounds, shooting it well, 52% from the field, 46% from deep. And when you break down his shot here in the preseason, he's shooting 69% in the paint, and 38% of his shots are coming in that painted area. He's done better from the mid-range, 39%, and 6 of 13 from beyond the arc. So a lot to like about Zach's shot chart. That mid-range shot still, you know, it's so easy to say, hey, take away that mid-range shot. If you're going to shoot a mid-range shot, back up behind the arc. Well, that's much easier said than done when you're in the flow of a game and all of a sudden the shot clock's winding down and you've got the ball and you're open from 19 feet away. What are you going to do? Pass it up and dribble back, and by that time maybe a defender closes out on you and now there's only one on the shot clock and you've got to force something up. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You're not going to completely eliminate the mid-range game. So, you know, when we talk about redistributing a lot of those mid-range shots to the three-point line, you're going to have the mid-range shot always be a part of the game. It's just, it's always going to be there. But it's a philosophical thing. It's about positioning and spacing and making sure that guys are aware, hey, if I'm on the weak side, I better be behind that three-point line. Don't be caught inside the three-point line. Tayshaun Prince comes to mind last year. How many times do we see him just take a deep two from just right inside that three-point line? It's just, and he wouldn't hit him. And you're better off backing up behind the arc and getting the extra point. You know, if you're going to be a poor mid-range shooter, you can be a poor three-point shooter and to be more effective that way. Shamaz Mohammed's off to a fairly good start. A lot of that coming from the game the other night in Lincoln against Denver. 15 points, 4 rebounds, low shooting percentage of 41%, but we mentioned the threes, the 3 of 6, very efficient there, and getting the free throw line 5 attempts per game. And, of course, his rebounding has been tenacious on the offensive glass. Brandon Rush has gotten off to a good start. Love the way he's shooting. Would love to see him be a little bit more aggressive looking for his shot. 6 of 12 from the field, 4 of 7 from deep. And Belly averaging 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He is looking more and more shot ready when he gets the basketball, something we've talked about ad nauseum. And I think Belly, you know, we've talked about him being a big part of this Wolves team going forward. And I like what we've seen so far from Nemanja Bjelica. All right, who's not hot? Well, let's start with some shooting numbers. Overall, the team is just has not shot the ball particularly well. Andrew Wiggins is averaging 15 points a game. He's averaging 9 free throw attempts per game. Those are both great. But he's shooting 30%, and he's really struggled inside where he shot, you know, he shot last year 59% in the paint. This year, it's just 33%. 5 of 15. We're not seeing the three-point, only 1 out of 4 from deep. That's only 4 attempts in 3 games. That's an area we were kind of hoping for an increase. The other area of his game was kind of filling out the rest of that box score, something we've talked about pretty much for 2 years now. Only 1 assist through 3 games, only 8 rebounds through 3 games. But he's balanced that out by not turning the ball over a single time during the preseason, and he's got 3 blocks in 3 games. Last year, he averaged just about a half block per game, so he looks a little more active defensively. And even though that shot isn't there, it's something I'm not too concerned about. It will come. There's a regression to the mean there. He's just too good a shooter inside and scorer inside that shot will eventually get there. But it would be nice to see, like we've talked about during the training camp, that outside shot develop. I mean, outside the paint, Wiggins in his career over the first 2 years only shooting 32% on his mid-range shots, and that includes the three-point shot as well, so 32%. The good news is that Wiggins is a team-high plus 26 in 3 games. In fact, this is the good news about most of the starters. This is the only who's not I've got on here is the starters and their shooting, whether it's Rubio, Jang, Karl Anthony Towns. They have struggled to shoot the basketball, but all 5 of those guys, LaVine, Wiggins, Cat, Rubio, and G, have the 5 highest plus-minus. so far. So while they may have some struggles offensively and shooting right now, and maybe the offense isn't clicking exactly where head coach Tom Thibodeau would like it to be, it's clear that even with those struggles, they're able to more than balance things out with what they're doing at the defensive end of the floor. Otherwise, they wouldn't have those big plus-minus numbers. So they're making up for it with their defense. But just to give you a couple other numbers, Cat is, you know, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 39% shooting here over the first three games. And he's really struggled outside of the restricted area. He's only shooting 29% outside the restricted area. Of course, he was so good last year from the mid-range, sixth best in the league at 48%. His long twos, that 16 to 23-foot shot, he was number one in the NBA at 51%. Ricky continues to struggle with his shot, 29%, one of five from beyond the arc, but he's doing other things as he normally does. 6 points, four rebounds, five assists, almost three steals a game. His plus-minus is third best on the team at a plus 21 right now. Gorgie, a 35% shooting, averaging 6 points, six rebounds, almost two blocks a game. So Gorgie's giving you something. He's leading the team in blocks. He's got five of them. Cat has three. Wiggins has three. And Cole Aldrich off the bench with three. And the Wolves done a nice job protecting the rim and picking up some blocks here and there over those three games. So, again, some rough shooting numbers for some guys that I'm not too concerned about. I think even though Cat is young and Wiggins is young, they've already got a track record that tells you they'll be able to get things going by the time the regular season starts.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
And once that regular season does start, you're going to continue to see referees make some calls that we've already seen in the preseason a little bit. And one thing that jumped out to me in the Charlotte game that we called on radio earlier this week was the defensive three-second call. And that is one of the three points of education the referees have told the players about, they've told the coaches about, and they're going to go around and make sure that they make a stop in every single city to talk to the broadcasters, TV, radio, reporters, print, anything, like anybody who wants to know. They're going to go through. The league does a great job. You know, you can just go to NBA.com and you can get a wealth of information. You got the rule book there. They have video demonstrations on plays. It's really come a long way in the last 5 to 10 years. But one of the things they want to clean up and is defensive 3 seconds. You know, coaches have been really pushing the limits every year, teaching their guys, hey, stay in the lane as long as possible. Not cleansing completely, and cleansing means you're completely out of the paint before you go back in. And that 3 second count starts when you're not actively guarding someone in that painted area. And you know, in the past, coaches knew, and they told their guys this. In fact, hey, take some liberties there, push the envelope, because you know what? We're only getting a call for that once. It's one technical free throw. It's early in the game. It's not going to make a big difference. Rarely do you see two called against the same team, and it's even rarer to see three called. And the whole idea behind it is to keep the lane open. Keep the lane open. Allow driving lanes. It helps keep the excitement of the game. It helps free up offenses. And that's why the rules are in place, to kind of free up offenses, to create more excitement. So you're going to see defensive 3 second calls, and you'll probably see a lot of them. Another point of education this year, freedom of movement. And that's occurring away from the basketball. Picture Zach LaVine on the right side of the floor. He cuts along the baseline off one screen, then picks up another screen. Then he goes around a third, and he curls around to the elbow and makes a catch and rises up with that vertical he's got and knocks down a jumper. You see it all the time. Curry moves away from the ball so well. Thompson does it. J.J. Redick, Ray Allen when he played. These guys are just, they're just water bugs all over the place. So what have coaches done to try to slow these guys up? Hey, let's get a body in front of them. Let's grab them. Let's clutch. Let's hold. Let's do all the things we can to knock them out of their rhythm and gain an advantage. And what the league wants to do, again, is is free that up. You cannot impede someone's progress or clutch or grab or hold. They want to clean that up. They want to let these guys run. And again, it's all about freedom of movement. It's all about freeing these guys up and being able to get where they need to go and make offenses be successful. I mean, defensive coaches like Tibbs probably don't want to hear this, but it's going to make it more difficult to, you know, when you're beat, especially on pick and rolls too, when you're trying to fight over the top, coaches yelling at you, fight over the top, stay with your man. You've got to battle through. You've got to grab. You got to clutch. You got to kick. You got to do whatever you can to slow your man up. Otherwise, you're beat, and that's on you. So referee's going to be looking for that. The final thing that they're going to be looking for are unnatural acts. And you ought to just rename this thing the Draymond Green rule. Okay, we all saw what Draymond does, flailing with his arms, and maybe more importantly, flailing with these kicks that are just, after the ball's already released, all of a sudden he's kicking upwards about 3 or 4 feet. I mean, just ridiculous. He caught Steven Adams in the groin. He caught LeBron James in the groin. And, you know, you could say, and it wouldn't be a stretch, that Draymond Green cost the Golden State Warriors that finals. They blew a 3-1 lead. It's amazing to me when I think back on it. And I kind of feel like I haven't heard a lot of blame go to Draymond Green. I mean, I know it got mentioned, but that was huge. You had game 5 on your home floor. For Cleveland to come back in the finals down 3-1 is amazing. To get 2 of those 3 wins at Golden State was even more incredible. And if Draymond Green's on the court for Game 5, I'm not sure there's even a Game 6. That was a huge play, and the league really wants to step in and put an end to this stuff. Enough with the flailing. It's all unnatural. It's not part of basketball, and it could result in technical. It could be called as a flagrant 1 or 2, and if Draymond keeps doing it, he's going to find himself suspended pretty darn quick. So those are kind of the 3 points of education. Again, they renamed it from the points of emphasis. They didn't kind of like the connotation that went with that. So it's points of education now. And when we had our broadcaster meetings, they spent a lot of time, Kenny Maurer, former referee, Bob Delaney, former referee, really talking about how difficult their job is, what kind of things they're doing to get their referees to handle situations better along with coaches. You've got an incredibly intense will to win going on in a basketball game. You've got a lot on the line. Coaches, players have so much on the line, and they have done, the league has tried to think outside the box in ways we can help the referees handle situations, handle the relationship between coaches. They've got a whole new set of criteria, how they're going to deal with coaches, some buzzwords, some keywords that they're going to try to use to let coaches know, okay, I've heard your complaint and enough is enough, and we're going to stop escalating this thing now. And it's really, again, like I said yesterday, it's really encouraging to see a league step forward and do things in this kind of manner. It's really going to pay big dividends. But they talk to us a lot about this too, as if broadcasters sometimes call out referees. Now, I have no idea what they could possibly be talking about. I mean, we know how hard these guys work. They've put us in rooms where they'll show you a play and boom, Alan, make that call. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I can't even see. The game's moving too fast. It's too quick. Yeah, that's exactly the point. These guys have the most difficult job that there is as far as umpiring, refereeing, NFL, hockey. It's impossibly difficult. It doesn't mean that they don't screw up occasionally, but I don't know when I've ever called out a ref. I mean, come on.
Here's Ricky up into the front court on the right wing with 2:20 left to play. Sweeping bounce pass to Wiggins along the baseline. Got bumped, no call. He's able to kick it out to Towns. Pump fakes a 3. Dribbles into the paint. Stops, falls away on the 7-footer. No slam, follow for Andrew Wiggins. Oh, they say basket interference. They're going to wave it off. I don't know about that. Benny Adams makes the call. Let's see where this rebound was. Oh, that was outside the cylinder. Come on, Benny! What is he looking at? It was outside the cylinder. Cost the Wolves 2 points there. Down by 4. Durant banging away with Ricky on a mismatch. Turnaround jumper. It rolls off. Cat's got the rebound. That was not basket interference. Gorgie goes down the lane. Wild shot, no, but a whistle and a foul. And it's hard enough for the Wolves to win games without officials blowing the calls.
All right, so that's one example. That was probably from probably from 8 years ago or something. That's just, you know, that's just one of them. That was last season? Oh, that was OKC. That was the win at OKC when Ricky knocked down the three. Remember the great feed from Andrew Wiggins to Ricky Rubio? So the Wolves were able to overcome that. But that's got to be one in a million. I mean, that didn't happen again the rest of the year, did it?
Bucket would be huge here. Wiggins against Lillard. A marquee matchup. Oh, he flopped to the floor. They call a charge on Wiggins. You've got to be kidding me. James Capers bails out the Blazers. You've got to be kidding me in that situation. A game-changing call like that. They're banging away in the mid-post. They're banging away. Lillard flops and gets the call. That's atrocious. That's atrocious. Come on, James Capers. You're better than that. You're a crew chief in your 19th year. He flopped. Man, the Wolves get the short end of the stick time and time again. No wonder they've lost 8 straight and 19 of the last 20 in this building. That's an atrocious call.
All right, so it happened again. I hold my feet to the fire, I guess. It's the interesting thing is that, you know, I think a lot of broadcasters really don't touch much on the officials. I've almost, the first three quarters, it really doesn't matter. And oftentimes where we sit, we're up top of the lower bowl, sometimes the upper deck, bottom of the upper deck. So, you know, we don't have the best vantage point on some of these things. But when it comes down to the end of the game, and the Wolves were in a ton of close games last year, they played 50 games that went into clutch time. That's third most in the NBA last year. You're going to get some intense situations where it's a bang, bang play, and sometimes the call doesn't go your way. And, you know, I hope referees, I've never had an interaction with them. I've never had one of them say anything to me about a call. Maybe Ed Malloy and I have not crossed paths ever since the non-call against Kevin Love back in 2013, I guess it was, that 13-14 season. But, you know, I hope those guys understand that we have a job to do as well. And I understand that their job is terrifically difficult, but that doesn't excuse errors that may happen with the game on the line. And that's really where I will let things go until it gets to that point where the game's on the line. And, you know, I hope they understand that we have a job to do as well. You, the listener, are tuning in to find out what is happening. And if there was a call that looked like went against the Wolves and shouldn't have, then you're going to hear about it. You need to know that. That's part of the game. No hard feelings. It's like the coaches and refs. Some interactions between them are awful during the game, but yet those guys meet in the hallway afterwards and they have a smile on their face. They put it behind them and they move on to the next game. So hopefully it's the same way. And I play those just kind of in to have some fun too. It's great. I mean, it's fun. It's not fun coming up short on some of those calls, which happened a couple of times last year. But it's what makes this game great. It's intense. It's passionate. It goes one way for you one game. It doesn't the next. It's just it's a great game, and I hope everybody can kind of just have some fun with it. All right, well, that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Wolves. Have yourselves a great weekend. We got a couple of Wolves games coming up Saturday and Sunday. We'll be able to talk about it Monday, and then, of course, we can stop talking about streaming and no TV and no radio and all these things. It'll all change next week, and it'll be all past us, and we can move on with our lives. Have yourselves a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. This is Locked On Wolves. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter at Wolves Radio and at Locked On Wolves. Locked On Wolves, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.